Well, good afternoon. Well, I'm amazed how many people are on the call. I'm afraid there's probably a whole lot of other people jumping on the call as well. I just want to say, as we get ready to get started here in a minute, I'll just give everybody another minute or two. But we are going to be putting this on the website. It'll be on the partner side of the website. We'll leave it up there at least all week long, maybe longer. There's not going to be anything that is going to be, overly, any kind of crazy assertions here or anything. So we'll leave it up there. I want to make sure that everybody gets this. Before I get started, too, I want to mention that, listen, this is a suggestion that I'm making. It's something that I would like you to do. I think it would be something that could benefit you as we move forward here, as we look at this economy. So hopefully you'll do it, but if you don't, that's okay too. It's not the end of the world. Some of you, have different things that you look at. I'm sure not everybody listening to this call only follows me. Maybe you follow other things. Maybe you use some of mine and use your own instincts and things like that. That's fine. I don't have any. This isn't something that you definitely need to do. It's just something that I'm recommending that you do. It is a bit of a change of strategy for me. I'll explain what that is. It's not a change of philosophies. It's not something we're going to get right back to square one here, probably in another year or so. But I think for the next 2018, for the rest of 2018, we need to take a long, hard look at this. I think that in November, after the elections, the midterm elections, we may have a different perspective. But let me just tell you where I want to begin. First thing is, I don't want you to change any of your strategies in the sense that I want you to follow the asset allocation model that is appropriate for you. I want you to maintain the cash position that has been reduced, as you have noticed in your portfolios, that has been reduced. I want you to keep that cash allocation set aside. But I do want to say this. I'm somewhat concerned as to the direction, not of necessarily the economy at all, but the market reaction. I don't know if you remember, but yesterday or Friday, I was talking about one of something that Dudley, he's the Fed president in at the New York Fed, and I mentioned one of the things that he said, that one of the things that he said on Friday was that the Fed, he said, might need to have a much more aggressive approach to raising interest rates. So when I heard that, I wanted to think a little bit about it, as I've done over the weekend, and which kind of solidified my feelings all along that I've had for the last 3 weeks. And I'm really concerned not about the markets, or not about the economy, but a little bit about the markets, because I'm afraid these markets, I think we'll know a lot by the end of this week, but how the markets react to what the Federal Reserve said. The Federal Reserve said they were going to take a more aggressive approach to raising interest rates. Now, I want you to understand that raising interest rates in and of themselves is not the issue here. What is the reason why they think they need to do that. And they think they need to do that because of an overheated economy that is quickly coming to the horizon, and I think is going to continue to show itself. I think that's a good thing for us in the sense that, and there's a part of me that says overheated from what? We're overheated if we get heated up and start running really well, then we're getting heated up from a frigid, cold economy, and I would submit cold economy for the last 15 years, some might even say 2020, but a very frigid economy. It has been 12 years since we've seen a 3% GDP growth, 12 years since we've seen 3% GDP growth. This is, to say the least, an extremely cold economy. So one of the questions is, who cares? Who cares if the economy is getting heated up? Who cares if there's an abundance of enthusiasm and optimism? I might be somewhat in that camp. Who cares? We've got 12 years, being generous, I think it's a lot longer than that, but we have 12 years to make up. 12 years of an economy that's gone nowhere. 12 years. So, I mean, is it even possible to get too hot when we've got to make up for 12 years? Here's my concern. First of all, let me just say this. I'm not so concerned that I'm changing the direction of asset allocation models and your direction. I'm not doing that. I'm not that concerned. Because above all else, including what concerns I do have, above all else, we've got an economy that certainly looks like it is going to be moving forward in a very powerful, strong direction. We have an opportunity in 2018 to see a 4% GDP growth number. If you remember last year, I said, I'm not in that camp. I'm not going to be in that camp, but I sure would be happy if we got anything over 3%. And I will be. But it's looking more and more like there's a possibility we could see 4% this year. Next year could even be better. But at a 3% GDP growth in the economy, we are going to do very well if it's a consistent 3%. So here's my concern. When the Fed's talking about raising interest rates and staying on course as they have been for the last 6 months, no matter what happens, and then Dudley comes out and says, we've got to be even more aggressive in raising interest rates. I've been in the camp that I'm all for that. Because the growth that we're going to see in the economy, I want it to last. Because I want that to translate into growth in the markets, and I want that to be sustainable. And the only way that's going to be sustainable is if we kind of keep at least a little pressure on the brakes. My concern is, the Federal Reserve, in trying to put a little pressure on the brakes, is going to continue to raise rates, not to let the market heat up. And then all of a sudden, the market's going to wake up and say, oh my word, we've got a 3.5% interest rate. The economy is going crazy. Money is getting expensive. And the market slam on the brakes. That's what I'm afraid is a real possibility. The other thing that is not beyond the realm of possibility, though it's not really a huge factor in what I'm thinking, the other thing is that the midterm elections could go sour and we could end up with one of the houses, one of the side of Congress, either the Senate or the House of Representatives, very unlikely it would be the Senate or the House of Representatives, but either one turning towards the progressives and the liberals. I don't see that happening. It seems to me like Republicans could pick up a few more seats in the Senate as opposed to going the other way. But well, anything could happen. You know the state of our political bitter, sour grapes, whining, crybaby liberals that have a certain group think that could make that happen in some states. So either one of those things is going to be a rough spot not make things horrible, but a rough spot in the markets. There's a possibility, of course, that some could blow that out of proportion and it could get a little bit rougher for a somewhat of an extended period of time. Now listen, no matter what anybody says about the markets, nothing I say, nothing anybody else says about the markets, it's almost to the place where it's irrelevant. Meaning, the markets are somewhat irrationally high. Markets are somewhat overvalued, that's for certain from a technical standpoint. But if we look at why the markets are high now compared to why they've been high in the last 15 years, they're high because of good, solid, organic growth. And what stops the markets from getting higher and what slows the markets down or what causes the market to take a turn down is not going to be the economy. I have been waiting a long, long time for the economy, not the markets, to get moving. A long time. And the markets, the economies are moving with good, solid, organic growth. And I don't believe that any change in strategy or any panic even in the markets are going to change what is happening in the economy. That's my belief. And I believe that we need to get to a place where the market is driven by the economy. And it is right now. Something we haven't seen in, I don't know, 10, 12 years at least. It's driven by the economy. The economy is being driven by starvation. We have had an economy that has been starving, that has had nothing, no growth, none. Best case would be since 12 years ago. It's had no growth. To now being in a place where we have an opportunity to make up 12 years of no growth in the economy. Well, yeah, but Dan, the GDP has been positive for this. No, listen, what I'm talking about is growth above 2.5% GDP growth. And for all practical purposes, we haven't any. Why at more than 2.5% GDP? Because before July of 2013, it was always, for the 50 years before that, believed that 2.5% GDP growth would have to be maintained in a year to keep up with population growth. Well, then in July of 2013, they changed the way they calculate GDP growth, and they added some things into it. So I'm going to say now, based on that change, I don't know what the number is, but I'm going to say that it is probably more than that. Now it's probably, 2.7% GDP growth. But I'll stay conservative and say 2.5%. The economy has gone nowhere because it hasn't even kept pace with population growth. Now, when you look at the BLS, they're still using a population number that's 58 million below what the real number is. So it's one of the ways that you can cook the books a little bit during the Obama administration, and how do you get out from under that now? So they haven't changed it. So we have a lot of room, a lot of ground to make up in this growth, a lot of ground to try to make up. But as you know, I like to err on the side of caution. I want everybody to have a change of heart. I want everybody to say, I want you to be able to say, you know what, markets are up 30%. You know what, I'm up 21. It's a really good thing. Or the market's up 20%. You know, I'm up 18, 17%. That's a really good thing. I want you to get to a place where you have great value in things like 10, 11, 12%. That is of great value to your portfolios. Would 20 be better? Sure it would be. But here's what I want you to do. So I want us from this point moving forward, for the next 12 months, I want you, and this is goes particularly for your IRA accounts, qualified accounts, and I'll tell you why in a minute, but I want you to not ask me anymore about taking profits. I want you to get into a routine, either at the end of March, at the end of June, at the end of September, at the end of each quarter, at least, at best you could do it every month. I want you to look at your portfolio and say, if you're up percent, if you're up more than 9% in any position, you will sell off enough shares to gain that 9%. And build up your cash position to a place we don't want it to necessarily build up to, but just do that for the next 12 months. I don't want you, please, and I know I'm saying this, and I know that everybody's going to hear this, and I know I'm still going to get phone calls of people say, you know, Dan, I'm up 28%. Do you think I ought to take the profit? I know I'm going to get the question. I know I am. And I could say this to him, blue in the face, but I know I'm going to get the question. Because we get emotionally attached to that stock and you're thinking that surely this stock is an exception. Listen, I am telling you there's no exception. Now, being the staunchy old conservative financial guy that I am, my IRA account, I've been doing something similar to this for the last 2 years. Last year, 2017, the markets are up 22%. In my accounts of my and three of my institutional accounts, totaling about $200 million that I manage for other people. $300 million now, I guess. I think it's been so good. I took this approach, and I was taking everything over anywhere between 12 and 15% profit. I was taking it, and I continue to do that. And what happened last year was I probably missed about 7% of the run-up. But on average, I did 13% in those portfolios, and I ended up with far more cash than I had before we started. A lot more cash than before we started. So my institutional guys say, wow, Dan, I can't believe we did only 13%. That's right, we did. Hey, I erred on the side of caution. I was taking a lot of profits. But look, we started out with $230,000 in cash. Now we've got $340,000 in cash. So you got to count. That's got to count for something. So I would like everybody to take that position that if it's over 9% taken. Now, I said particularly in your IRAs, 401ks, Roth IRAs, SEPs, any retirement accounts, because you don't have to pay any capital gains on that. I'm going to leave it up to your discretion whether you want to do it in your investment accounts, which means if you make 10%, on whatever amount of money, and that 10% ends up being $1,000, you got to give $150 of that $1,000, you got to give Uncle Sam. It's okay. It's okay. You still made $850. That's a good thing. You made $850. Put it into cash. So in your investment accounts, people are going to be reluctant to do it because of that. But again, this goes to our heart change. Let's try to do right by God's money. Let's try to make as much money as we can. Now, here's why I'm doing this. I would like to be in a place in 2019 that we have a lot more cash than we should, that cash that we have over and above our allocation cash is all profit. We'll be in a position to take a little bit more risk with that profit, and we'll be able to get that back into our asset allocation model. I don't think it's going to kill anybody to do this, but it would be a way to take advantage of this, some of this, if we want to believe, and I do believe, that some of the gain is irrational. And I certainly believe, because the numbers tell me so, I got to believe the math, that there is an overvaluation. Now, I don't think we need a correction to get back into valuation. But at the same time, I think we ought to look at this. Some of you, you may want to wait till the end of March or the end of the quarter. But I would like to see you institute this right now. I would like to, for all of you, if you want to wait till the end of the month, do it this month, do the end of February, that's fine. But I think we ought to take a long, hard look at these profits. I'm not doing it so we become traders. I'm doing it because I want you to have an opportunity to constantly be peeling off the profits. We can't go wrong. We can't do bad. We can't listen. So what? My brother made 20%. I made 10, but I got a lot more cash than he's got. That's valuable. So I think it's going to be the beginning of getting just a little bit more protective and conservative. Now, yeah, but Dan, I'm 20 years old. I want you to do it. Dan, I'm 90 years old. I want you to do it. I want everybody to do this, regardless of your age or lot in life right now. If you've got money invested, I want you to take those profits that are over 9%. If it's 9.5, take it. If it's 10, take it, whatever. Take it. Well, it might have upside potential. Well, if it's got upside potential to go to 20, you'll be taking it again in a couple months because you're going to be over 9 again. That's fine. Here's the risk. The risk is you're selling off good positions. Oh, well, we'll buy them back. Don't worry about that. Just take the profits on all of those profits that have happened between now and the end of next year. At the end of this year, and then we'll reevaluate at some point in time. I think that's so. It's a little bit of a change. It is not a tried and true rule of thumb as a change to my philosophy. That's not what this is. This is a temporary change in an opportunity to build some cash and to take advantage of, if it's irrational, of taking advantage of that irrational behavior, or taking advantage of the overvalued market. So I think it's going to be necessary to do that. Here's what I thought about, just to give you my line of thinking before I made this call and why I was a little concerned. So I don't know when I said this. I don't know if it was on our last conference call last week or I said it during a program last week. I feel like I said it during a program, but I'm not 100% sure. But I talked about something that nobody is really discussing or talking about in the financial world, and I'm not sure why. Maybe they think it's a non-event or they don't believe it. But the fact of the matter is, since 1998, we have seen close to all the publicly traded stocks being cut in half since 1998. Now, since November of 2017, we have seen this incredible rise in the markets. But more importantly, we have seen a huge amount of inflows into stocks. Trillions of dollars of market cap being added since November, not last November, not November 17, November 16. Trillions of dollars being added to market cap. Trillions. This money's going into the market to buy stocks that aren't available. We have more dollars coming in than we have ever had in the history of the market, and we have fewer stocks than we have had in 20 years. So if we don't want to talk about markets, we've got to at least think about the laws of supply and demand. And I believe, and I said this too a couple of weeks ago, that there may be a new normal coming into play on valuations. That valuations at 15% are not normal because valuations of 22% are far more normal based on the fact that we have so much money fighting over fewer issues. We have high demand because everybody wants in and low supply. And that supply-demand story is driving the price up because when demand is so low, it is going to drive the price up of stocks just like it would drive the price up of oil or corn or anything else. And I think we have that going on in the markets. And I don't think enough people are paying the attention. So my fear is, I'm giving you this for food for thought. So if you say, you know what, Dan, I appreciate you. I love you for being so concerned about us and all of that. But I'm going to go with your last comments and saying that it's a supply-demand issue. And if it is, it kind of doesn't matter. Markets are still going to go up. And I'm going to go with that idea, and I'm going to stay in. That's fine. So I'm just telling you. You now have a reason. If I say to you a year from now, why did you stay in? You didn't take your profit. You can say, well, because I was buying into this supply and demand theory, and I felt that that was a great theory, and that's what I was going with. So at least you know why you did it. So I'm not telling you have to do this, but. I think it would be wise. I think it would be prudent, and I think that it's gonna pay dividends one way or another. Look, it's the best of all worlds. We're not burying our talents in the sand. We're not doing that. Okay. We are investing our money. We are getting a return on the master's money, as he would expect, and I would submit that we're getting a very good, maybe it's not tenfold, but we're getting a very good return on our master's money, better than the servant that buried it in the talent in the sand for sure, better than the middle guy that made some conservative investments, maybe not as good as the guy that went all in and got very aggressive, but we had a good return on the master's money by protecting the principal of the master's money. And I think that we are going to be rewarded both financially and continue to receive his blessings. So that's it. That's what I want you to do. I want you to start taking profits, anything over 9%. Don't any of you dare call me tomorrow and ask me about taking profits. I'm going to hang up on you. I'm just giving you a heads up. I'm going to hang up on you. If you're a partner, and you say, if you're not a partner, I don't have any choice. So the other thing I want to remind you of, folks, and we get into these trends every once in a while, and we're so good. And I know our old partners are very committed to this, but when you call in, don't give away what's on our buy list. Don't tell people what, you know. I mean, there's a whole lot of people that were hurting by doing that because they think they can do this without being a partner, and they're saving $85. And if they're worried about saving $85, they probably shouldn't be partnering anyway. Shouldn't even be investing. But, you know, we're hurting them because they're not getting the whole story, and they're investing on based on half the story. And that's never a good thing. So be careful. Plus, I want you to guard your partnership. That's good for the ministry. It's good for us. It helps us, you know, and encourages people to partner. And that's a good thing. So it's a way that you can help the ministry in our fundraising, you know, efforts and our support. So I really appreciate you thinking about that and doing that, please. And the other thing is, please don't stay away from my broad list, but please don't buy off the broad list. Stick to the buy list. I know you say, I'm desperate to get this asset allocation model. I'm just going to, you know, this sector, and I'm going to buy whatever. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. You know, you may be fine doing it, but there's some on that broad list that are really bad companies. Now, they're still on there because I think they have a shot of being turned around. And there's no reason for me to take them off the broad list because, you know, nobody's buying them. But I don't want you to be the one that's buying a really bad stock. So when it goes crashing down, I get to say, whew, man, I'm glad I never put that on my buy list. And you get to say, I should have never bought that off the broad list. So stay away from the broad list. So I'm going to put this recording up, folks. And I sure appreciate all of you. You know, we had we now have 922. It's going down, people dropping. But I sure appreciate all of you on this conference call. I hope that helps. It's a simple philosophy. It's a simple strategy. It's not going to be hard to do. And I believe with all my heart it's going to pay great dividends. And this came to me 3 weeks ago. And when it came to me, I was deep, deep in prayer. I was doing a 20-minute devotion that lasted an hour and 45 minutes. And I just felt this nudge of taking me back to the last couple times that I had done this. So I pray that it is ordained of God, anointed by God, and put God's providence that I'm saying this. And I pray that it works out. And if you don't do it, I wish you all the best and pray that God's protection be on all of us. So hope that helped you a little bit. It's not a big deal. Like I said, it's very simple. It's not going to be hard to do. It is going to be a little bit more close to checking. The portfolio tracker is very close. We're going to have that. That's going to help you do all this, too. It's going to help you a lot. So I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully in the next week or so, I'm hanging up here, getting on the phone with the developer. I'm going to find out where we are with that. I appreciate all of you. I thank you for being with us, and this is going to be on the partner side, so you can go back and listen to it again. Have a great day. God bless. I'll see you in the morning.